to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 16. I would like to be in at verse 7, if you please. And read down through verse 15. The precious words of the Lord Jesus. We're in a section of Scripture in which the Lord Jesus was alone with his disciples in the upper room before he wended his way to Gethsemane and Calvary. Those blessed scriptures from John 13 through John 17, they are very precious. They are full of the greatest truth that you could ever find for the soul and the heart of a believer to enjoy. But tonight we want to read from verse 7 of chapter 16 through verse 15 concerning the blessed words of the Lord Jesus in relation to one of the great persons of the Godhead. I'm sure that most, if not all of us today, right now, are very familiar with the truth. There is God the Father, and there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit, revealed to us in the Scriptures of truth. The Old Testament may particularly emphasize the oneness and the unity of the Godhead, but the New Testament particularly reveals to us in much greater detail the separate persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, as well as God the Holy Spirit. I would suggest to my beloved fellow believers to recognize the progression from the beginning of the Bible to the end of divine revelation in relation to God. May I humbly but gratefully say, the greatest subject of study that you could ever enjoy or seek after is to know God. One made the statement in the past century, to know this mighty being as far as he may be known is the noblest aim of human understanding. And my fellow believers, to you as well as to mine own heart, I speak to say, frankly and firmly, our greatest need and our greatest objective should be to know God more and more. It will be our objective and our consideration through all eternity. But to look at God the Holy Spirit, I'd like to emphasize, as we read our chapter, recognize his personality. He is a person. He is just as real as a person as you are and I am, and even as God the Father and God the Son. Co-equal, co-eternal in the triune Godhead with the Father and the Son, but verily a person. It is often misunderstood that the Holy Spirit is only an influence. Don't ever think that. He is a person. He has and possesses a personality. God the Father never took upon him humanity. Neither did God the Holy Spirit take upon him humanity. Only did the Son of God. But nevertheless, each one of them, they are persons. More in reality a person, perhaps, than you think you and I may be. But a genuine person. But listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, ere he departs to Gethsemane and Calvary. Verse 7. Nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, Paraclete, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will convict, or he will rebuke or reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And then follows the words of the Lord Jesus saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, and therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. May the Lord bless the reading of this section of his word. May I repeat again, I want humbly but faithfully to exalt the person of the Holy Spirit as he should be, and recognize and confess by God's dear children today. You cannot read the word of God from the beginning to the end, but recognize that in every divine undertaking, the Holy Spirit participated. From the book of Genesis chapter 1, down to the end of the book of the Revelation, you'll find plenty of evidence in the participation of the Holy Spirit in all the divine decrees and undertakings of God, even beginning with creation, going down in the days of the antediluvian period, he is spoken of, in the days of the patriarchs. By the Holy Spirit they believed in God, as well as you and I. And all the way through the Old Testament he is spoken of, and revealed in his word. The holy prophets could not and did not speak without the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit. But when you come to the New Testament, how precious to realize the divine Godhead, the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are more clearly revealed. First of all, it was the Son that revealed the Father. Let me quote the words of Matthew 11 and verse 27. When Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Son, or the Father rather, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Let me quote John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath revealed or declared him. And we humbly say faithfully, no man knows the Father unless he first knows the Son. Well, did the Savior say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me? But we also rejoice, and particularly in the Gospel of John, as well as throughout all the Gospels, but particularly the Gospel of John, how it magnifies the Son in the writings of John the Apostle. But also, the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John reveals the Father And he reveals the Holy Spirit. And concerning the Holy Spirit, he had much to say just before he left for the glory above. Now notice in the scriptures that we have read, he refers to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit during his absence from the earth. Verse 7 tells us, he declared it is expedient, meaning it is profitable for you that I go away. For unless I go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. So may we recognize the blessed Lord Jesus declares, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then if we read the chapter, the portion that we have covered in reading, you find a twofold work for the Holy Spirit to do upon the earth. First of all, as you read from verse 8 through verse 11, a work of conviction in relation to the world that is unsaved. Can I repeat it? I noticed very carefully in prayer tonight, there was intercession for loved ones, for dear ones in our own families that perhaps are not yet saved. And there are many others we pray for to be saved in the great gospel of our Lord Jesus we preach. But the work of conviction and the work of bringing them to conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. And may I give the encouragement that when you pray for your dear ones to come to Christ, claim the promise that the Holy Spirit is the great convictor and the great converter. For humbly I say, but faithfully, there needs to be true conviction of sin, righteousness, and of judgment to the soul he seeks to win and woo for the Lord. Notice the three things he does. He will convict of sin. He will convict of righteousness. He will convict of judgment. Said the Lord Jesus. Take the words in very carefully and thoroughly. To convict or reprove of sin, righteousness, judgment. They are important subjects in the Word of God. And they are important in their relationship to the world. Please note, first of all, he will convict of sin, and particularly note the special sin which he would convict the unsaved with. A sin because they believe not on me. Let me faithfully declare, the greatest sin in the world is the rejection of Christ. You can name every wicked sin that can be named, of all forms and differences of iniquity, but the greatest sin of the human race, the greatest sin of our boys and girls that are not yet saved, and our fellow companions and our families who have not come to Christ. Their greatest sin, they have not believed on the Lord Jesus. I remember in Sunday school maybe 60 years ago, maybe more, giving the children an object lesson by presenting to them an object of a bag from the book of Job, a text saying, Thou sowest mine iniquity, and thou puttest my sins and my transgressions in a bag, and sowest up mine iniquity. And it gave the illustration that when God forgives sins, he seals them up, never yet again to be sealed. But I had names of various sins in that bag, of which I taught to the children. Stealing, murder, hate, lying, and various sins. And spoke to the children of the enormity of these special sins. But last of all, I had one card on which I had this name written, Unbelief. And then I asked the children in the Sunday school, how many of you, who can tell me why this sin of unbelief is the greatest of all sins? A dear young boy put his hand up. I said, Eddie, go and tell me, go ahead. And that young boy answered me, just as I was delighted to hear it. Mr. Rammel, God can forgive all those sins that you've named, but he cannot forgive that one. I said, you're right, Eddie. The sin of unbelief. That's the world's greatest sin. They proved it at Calvary. The world nailed him to the cross, saying, away with this man, we'll not have this man to reign over us. But not only convicting of sin, of righteousness, by righteousness, he adds, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Where is the Lord Jesus at the right hand of God? He is now a Savior at the right hand of God. And righteousness for the sinner can only be found in him at the right hand of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, concerning of our Lord Jesus, he became sin, that we through him, he became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God in him. And my beloved, the only righteousness that a sinner can found to clothe his soul with and her soul is Christ, the risen Christ, the glorified Christ, the Savior that has died and provided it by his death upon the cross. You'll never find righteousness for the soul upon the earth. You'll have to come to him. My beloved, I'm sure every one of us who came to him looked back at that moment. Who did we come to? No man on the earth, but the man in the glory, who had been on the earth and did the work for our soul's redemption. But there's a third thing he said he will convict the world of. Not alone sin, not alone of righteousness that is only found in me above, but judgment. For the prince of this world, which is none other than Satan, is judged. The prince of this world? My beloved, we know this. If our dear ones do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their sin offering, as their righteousness, they will be exposed to eternal judgment in the day of God's judgment. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Please me, I say. And I say it to my own heart. I cannot preach the gospel in my own power. I cannot convict a soul of sin. I cannot prove to a soul that you must have Christ as your righteousness. I cannot prove to a soul of his or her danger of judgment. The Holy Spirit does it. Oh, how important. His work. His person. And then as you read on, for brevity's sake, let me go on to say, from verse 13 on, from verse 9 and 10 and on through verse 15, you have his other words for the church, for the souls that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me hurriedly go down the line of them, and he mentions, and of how precious they are. In verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. At the time he spoke to the disciples, they were not ready. They were not prepared to hear what he had to say. My beloved, look. He goes on to say, and please know what he follows with in saying, he, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. May I very reverently look at those words with you for a brief moment. How be it when he, and of whom is he speaking? The Spirit of truth, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. May I firmly say, I cannot understand the truth of God in the Word of God without the Holy Spirit teaching me. Dependence upon him as the teacher is absolutely imperative. And the Lord Jesus is saying, and calls him, the Spirit of truth. Listen, he'll always teach you the truth. I remember sitting with a dear old saint of God, a servant of God, when I was a young man, asking him advice. And then he gave me this advice. He said, boy, you'll never have a better teacher than the Holy Spirit. May I put it in this particular manner? No matter whether you go to a Bible school or never go to a Bible institution, whether you do or whether you don't, you'll only learn the Word of God rightly by the Holy Spirit teaching you. It's not by human reasoning, but the Holy Spirit is a teacher of the truth. When convenient, read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And John speaks of the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. In the world, you've got two lines of teaching. You've got the Spirit of truth, and that's the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. But you have a lot of teaching of error, called the Spirit of error, which is magnified today, multiplied exceedingly. But the Spirit of God, he is the Spirit of truth. But nobody adds, he will guide you into all truth. May I give you this encouragement? Take your Bible under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, whether you're listening to a brother or whether you're doing your own Bible study. He's the divine teacher, of which we would like and hope we can later on speak more of it. But please know what the Lord goes on to say about him as you go to the same verse 13. When he comes, he shall not speak of himself. Can I pause for a moment on that expression? I'd like to give just a little warning. There are some blessed people of God today who speak more of the Holy Spirit than they do the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me carefully, with no apology, there is a danger today that is being unfortunately followed by many believers. They are magnifying the person of the Holy Spirit by what they claim is the evidence of it that they manifest. But here the Lord is, he's not going to speak of himself or even from himself. Know what he says. He shall glorify me. My beloved, may I say humbly, and I say it from the depths of my heart, my greatest desire when I speak is that by the Holy Spirit I will glorify Christ. And may I go further, even though I may not see results, I am still responsible in my ministry to glorify Christ. No matter how it's received, or who receives it and who doesn't. Well, I think of a dear old Scots brother that said, the truth is better felt than felt. Think it through. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit in regard to the ministry through the church to glorify Christ. Not that. And the joy of knowing, let's close by following it through as he goes on to say, as you have it in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Do you want to know more about the things of Christ? You're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Then I repeat it. You're not dependent on me. Or any other brother. On each one of us. If we're going to know more of the things of Christ, it's the Holy Spirit who must be the teacher. And thank God for it. And he will take of mine, said the Lord Jesus, concerning me, and show it unto you. And then he goes on to say, all things that the Father hath are mine, and he will show them unto you. You know, you've got a lot to learn. Let me ask you the question. How much does the Lord Jesus have? He says, all things that the Father has. How much does the Father have? Let me ask you, how much does God have? You can't even penetrate it. May I repeat a statement I made at the beginning? To know this mighty being as far as he may be known is the noblest aim of human understanding. But you're dependent, and so am I, on the Holy Spirit of God. He's the world. You're dependent upon him in your ministry to the lost. And you're dependent upon him in his ministry to the church. Whether individually or even collectively. My beloved, may I say again, the burden that's on my heart, we do not give the Holy Spirit his proper place in our lives as we should. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you can read it sometime. The Corinthians forgot the Holy Spirit. Beloved, we can be in the same danger. But may I repeat again? Look, I reverently bow in worship and humility that these playlists could have the privilege of speaking of a divine person in the great Godhead. And when you and I consider it, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, this is the consummation of all knowledge in knowing God. But may God the Holy Spirit, or may I remind you again in closing, he is a person. He is subjected to what persons can do to him. They can grieve him, as even believers. They can vex him. They can quench the Spirit. And he's affected by it. He's a real person. And my beloved is just as much a person as God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the co-equal and co-eternal. But you know what? As you may have read in John 14, if you ever read it, we who are believers, said the Lord Jesus, he shall abide with you forever and shall be in you. Now, may I close by this statement. No one in the Old Testament ever had the Holy Spirit abiding in them. Came upon them. You cannot find a scripture where the Holy Spirit took his abode with them. So you come to the words of the Lord Jesus in this present age. He shall not only abide with you, said the Lord Jesus, he shall be in you. And upon believing, you and I were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, may God help us to honor his person. A divine person. I'm not God. No, I could never say that, but thank God. He took up his abode by the Spirit. For God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Whereby ye cry, Abba Father, shall we pray? Oh, blessed Father, oh, we would know thee more. Blessed Lord Jesus, we would know thee more. Blessed Lord, we pray that by the Holy Spirit, these hearts and lives of ours will be more filled with His conscious presence, teaching us, using us, blessing us, and helping us to do what He came to do, glorify Christ. Blessed Father, we thank Thee for the prayers tonight that some offered for this purpose, that we might glorify the Lord Jesus in our lives. And we humbly bow tonight as we close. May the Holy Spirit have His way with every one of us, we ask in the precious name of our Savior and for His glory. Amen. Thank you for listening to this old man, but I hope you heard the voice of God.